This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
It just times out that way. It's just a random shuffle, and then Good Vibrations is on, and I'd like to get some of those back. You know,
it would have just been good vibes if they did the song now.
Exactly, exactly. Ooh, Michael says there's bagels in the kitchen. All right, we'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Here's
be right
the Beach back. Boys. On KWFN 97.3 FM.
God, I wish we could do that. How fun would that be? Like, oh, we got mad callers. Anyway, here's the Beach Boys. We'll be back in 20. Oh, that's great. Oh, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good DJ voice. So the Woods meltdown happened a few times yesterday. There was one pitch that's burned in my brain. It was an 88 mile an hour hanger that Manny just completely missed, and I'm like it would have tied the game or put us ahead.
Of course, when things are going poorly, Manny actually did line one deep that could have, I thought, maybe a two-run shot. I'm watching the game on my phone as I'm on the anchor desk on Channel 10 last night, and I saw that ball from Manny, and I thought, oh, they've done it. They've gone back ahead 5-4, but of course it was caught running catch at the warning track, and the Padres were never able to get that run back that they gave up in the top of the seventh.
So you were live on the air with the game in front of you?
I always am when they're playing.
Paulie,
Now,
do you have a co-anchor?
No.
Because if I was there, I would have been like, hey, pay attention.
There are, you know, weather breaks and commercial breaks and packages that give me like a minute and a half where I can duck and look my head down to see what's going on because I want to follow along with what's going on in the game. Now, in the ninth inning in particular, no sound, obviously.
Well, hold on.
Little tiny
hold
picture.
Hold on. Can we start with the first inning?
Let's start with the first inning.
Can we start with the first inning? You know, Luis Arraez in the one. He had 3 hits yesterday, right? 3-for-4.
Including his 1,000th career hit.
Congratulations to Louis. He gets on first base. Manny works the AB 3-2. Louis takes off. And you didn't have to. You don't have to run 3-2, nobody out. But trying to stay out of a double play there. Manny then swings at a ball off the plate.
If he lets it go, it's first and second.
It's first and second, nobody out. I think we do that a lot. Right? No matter who the guys at the top are, our offense, and tell me if I'm wrong here, and somebody will definitely, our offense has become insanely predictable. Like, based on where we are in the order, you're like, oh, and I texted you guys, Iglesias will square to bunt. He ended up hitting like a swinging bunt, getting the guys over. Fermin will try to, you know, it was Beege after him. Beege got the knock there. And I'm like, well, we're definitely going to not try to have a big inning here. We're definitely going to try to safety squeeze him in. We did try, didn't work. We have become so predictable. You know what you're facing when you face the San Diego Padres right now. I don't know that there's a way out of it, but does it show to you a lack of confidence in your team when you're constantly asking them to sacrifice bunt? Like, way more than anybody in baseball. Are you going to rope-a-dope us, and then in the playoffs you're going to let them swing away? Because I'm down for that.
The counterpoint is you're hamstrung by injuries. You know that Iglesias against a righty isn't a good matchup. You know, Freddie Fermin is a really good bunter. You're trying to put your guys in the best position to do the things they're good at and not ask them to do things they're bad at. Like, well, if you're asking Freddie Fermin to hit a 3-run homer right there,
well, no, you're not.
You're probably not. You know, setting yourself up for disappointment.
But it's just so predictable. You might as well tell me what play is coming. You know, really, at this point, I just feel like. And again, we're laying down sack bunts in the third. We're playing for one run, you know, way too much, in my opinion, early in the game.
I would have disagreed with Luis Arraez's decision to lay down a sacrifice bunt earlier in the game.
Correct.
That one surprised me a little bit.
I was thinking about it maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago now, but we were talking about, like, this identity of the small ball mentality that the Padres have been using.
Yeah.
It was really coming into focus, and somebody, Eno, or maybe even Ben looked it up. We had the stat that was like, of all the World Series champions in the modern era, like the last team that was ranked in the bottom third in home runs with slug, like one team, the Royals, were the only team to win the World Series. So it's like, I'm looking at it like, all right, if this is the route that they want to play, the small ball, playing for a run. and they just don't think that they can compete with the pop.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're going to have to be the best small ball team, one of the best small ball using teams.
Well, they are.
In
they're
the
really
history
good at
of baseball.
But you
though,
also
to
need to have
win.
Then pristine pitching. If you're playing for one run here and there,
yeah, and you just
you've got to be able to win 3-2. But right now, they're not winning 3-2. They're losing 4-3.
And you just lost one of those pristine pitchers.
That's the knife's edge that you're playing with. And right now, your pitching isn't quite good enough to win 3-2. Yesterday was the perfect example. That's a game earlier in the season. Padres probably win 3-2.
Correct.
But right now, they lose it 4-3. The offense isn't any different. You know, it is with... I mean, remember, without Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano, this team is up a creek right now.
Yeah.
So those have kind of kept the offense from completely stagnating.
And
but,
Gavin Sheets.
But otherwise, you know, it's been a struggle lately. But you're not getting the pitching necessary to win those small ball games. You have to outslug teams sometimes, like they did on Saturday in a 12-3 win. I mean, it's still in there from time to time. You can see it from time to time. But so I'm watching the game. Everything we talked a little bit. We talked about the injury. We talked about, you know, Dylan Cease's performance. The ninth inning comes around. Padres need a run to tie, two to win. Haven't had a lot of walk off wins this season. I would want to say like three. There hasn't been a ton of them this year. But this is a perfect setup. The Orioles bullpen has been, you know, decimated. They traded away some guys. You've got an opportunity. Yes, it's the bottom of your order, but get someone on. You got the top of the order coming up. Figure it out. Yeah, find a way to win that game. And I'm watching without sound, and I see Iglesias come up, and I think, okay, they've got a lefty, got a righty-lefty matchup. He's pretty good against lefties. Leave him in there. That's understandable. Then Bryce Johnson's coming up. Got your switch hitter. You could go to someone with more power, but you're sticking with Bryce Johnson to try to get him on, and he does. Bryce Johnson comes through and gets on base again. Yep. So you've got the tying run on base. So now Freddie Fermin is scheduled to come up in the nine hole. Right-handed hitter, so you got the right righty-lefty matchup. Then I see Will Wagner coming up to the plate. And that was confusing to me.
I was very flummoxed at that point. I did not know what to make of that. You talk about, hey, let's bring somebody up with more power. I mean, really the only guy with more power on the bench is Jackson Merrill. And Elias Diaz? Who am I missing? Am I missing someone?
Recent power, Elias Diaz.
You're not
missing anyone else.
Right, so you could put Diaz in for Fermin, obviously, straight switch. He can go in and catch if you need him to, if you tie the game or whatever. He didn't. He went with the lefty, Will Wagner. Now, again, I don't really care what splits are. You have Jackson Merrill on the bench. And if you're going to go lefty-lefty, why not put Jackson Merrill in, who just was activated off the IL. Okay, fine. If you don't want to do that, he's not quite ready. We're going to give him the full extra day. Fine. Then Will Wagner beats it out on a bad throw, and I see Jackson Merrill come out to pinch run. And I'm like, that's what almost put me in the grave. And I was waiting for I tweeted, I've never been so confused. And I was waiting for someone, a Jesse Agler, a Tony Gwynn Jr., somebody to say, no, Woodsy, let me explain it to you why this will make sense. And I never got that explanation. The guy just came off torching his ankle, and he doesn't hit, but he runs.
So,
and that's what I just couldn't understand.
The question was asked in the post game of Mike Shildt, like, what was the strategy there? Here's what Mike Shildt had to say about Will Wagner batting in the ninth inning, lefty on lefty.
What was Jackson's availability? Because obviously he pinch ran with the ankle. Why not have him hit there? I'm assuming Aikens splits is why you went with the left.
Aikens reversi, and yep. You know, Wagner's just taken, I mean, really professional with bats, and Jackson was available.
Anything like the fact that Jackson hasn't been in a game in a while to put him in that situation?
That's my point. Yeah. He has not taken in a bat, and Wagner's taken great at bats, and talking with the guys, we felt like Wagner was, Aikens a reverse guy. So took our shot with Wagner, right. And Jackson will be in there tomorrow.
So he's a reverse guy. You know who else is his lefty? It's Jackson Merrill. And I understand, but like...
I mean, he had a reason. It wasn't not... His reason was Jackson Merrill hadn't been in a game in 2 weeks and didn't feel like pinch hitting in the ninth inning was a great spot to start him back on his return journey. You can disagree with it.
I do.
It's a legitimate reason. You talk with the
coaches. I got a $100 million player with reverse splits. To me... If Jackson comes in, strikes out swinging, I'm not mad at Jackson Merrill. I go, that's absolutely the right move. even if he goes Diaz there, and again, reverse splits, he said, I wanted a lefty for him. I'd rather go down with my best players, even if they fail. You know, even if they fail, I want to go down with my man. He's swinging a terrible bat right now. I'm still going to let him rip on a guy with reverse splits. Jackson Merrill, you paid him a $110 million contract. If I go down, it ain't going to be with Jackson Merrill on the bench, or even worse, pinch running. I just don't understand it. And you know, those are the things to me where it's like, did this game speed up like crazy on these guys? Because I know it didn't, and it I know didn't. They think no, everything no,
they,
through.
They,
but
they thought it through, the decision they made. I guess what I feel like is, I don't disagree. Will Wagner looks hitterish up there, but we heard that with Trenton Brooks for a long time. Kept pinch hitting, sending Trenton Brooks up there. Well, you know, he's putting together good at bats, but he's not hitting. And Will Wagner's hitting 167 with a 167 slugging percentage with the San Diego Padres. He may look like he's a good hitter, but he's not actually hitting.
KG in the chat says, what qualifies as a professional at-bat exactly?
I'll say Mike Schilt is more qualified than I am to determine what a professional at-bat looks like.
He's a professional baseball player. He took an at-bat.
And I appreciate at-bat. That they look carefully enough at the splits, knowing that that lefty actually does worse against lefties.
But you have a lefty. You have another lefty. I get it. It's not like Jackson's a righty.
I would have thrown Jackson up there, taken my chances.
100%.
I agree. If I die...
And I lose that game.
More than likely, you're putting him in a really tough spot.
Well, if
to
he
come
never
back,
comes out to pinch
not,
run,
and he's not going
to
succeed. Just,
if he doesn't come out to pinch run, I probably
you're thinking, well, they activated him,
but he's not.
They're not okay,
quite ready.
I expect him there
in
tomorrow.
That sense, yeah. Then if Mike Schilt was just managing to cover his butt, he would have put Jackson Merrill up there,
yes.
And he would have said, "This is very defensible. I'm going to put the guy out there that everyone wants me to put out there." He thought there was a better way. And then when he got to first base and he was the tying run after the force out, he said, Jackson is healthy enough to run and he's a faster runner than Will Wagner. We have a better chance of tying the game with Jackson running and scoring from first base than we do with Will Wagner. They're defensible decisions.
But
I disagree
on a bum
with
ankle?
Them. I mean, if he's healthy enough to be activated, he's healthy
enough
to run.
Did he should hit?
He's not. He didn't say he wasn't healthy enough to hit. He said, "I didn't.
That's
I didn't feel like that
the
was
point
a good
is,
spot.
Why
just,
wasn't he hitting?
You're
because
saying
he
to
hadn't
me,
hit in 2 weeks.
He's
he
been rehabbing. He's been getting ABs.
I know, but he hadn't had a real at bat in 2 weeks, and Mike didn't think that that was a fair place to put him in.
Ben, it makes no sense.
I'm saying what his explanation is. I disagree. I would have put Jackson Merrill in there.
Okay,
and I would have. He probably would have failed, given it's a bad spot.
Which is okay, because it's baseball.
Right.
They're going to fail. Somebody said, I think it's Schilt protecting Jackson's mind there. You and I don't care if he strikes out, but Jackson definitely does. Didn't want him to come back and get a sour taste off the bat.
I can see that as well.
How about a walk-off? Is that a good taste? That's a pretty good taste. If this soft-tossing lefty hangs one and Jackson Merrill absolutely pisses on one and we win the game,
I think that Jackson is the kind of kid with a mentality that I do want up there in that situation.
100%.
Even if he's ice cold,
100%.
Even if he hasn't hit in a couple of weeks, I want that swagger that Jackson brings up to the plate there.
Yes.
I agree with you.
It was beating my head against the wall. Fine. It's over. They lost. You got to win this series. You got to find a way to win this series against the very lowly Baltimore Orioles. And
they're throwing. Who are they throwing today?
Tyler Wells.
He's got a first start since April.
No, he has zero ERA. He has not pitched since April of 2024. This is his first after Tommy John surgery. Going to be his first start in a year and or 5 months.
I saw that. Doing some work last night.
I mean, you got to figure.
If you don't win this game,
you got to figure he's on a very limited pitch count going into this game tonight. But we'll see. I mean, again, I disagree.
You Darvish, right?
You Darvish, yeah. I disagree with. I would have thrown Jackson Merrill up there.
Yes.
It probably would have been more hope than confidence. Like
yes.
You know, this is probably you know, me being kind of hopeful that Jackson can deliver after not playing in a game in 2 weeks, that we think he can come fresh off the bench and deliver a giant hit right there, and it probably wouldn't have worked out, but I would have gone that direction.
So just to like look at the other side of the equation, if Schilt really did believe that Wagner gave them the better chance to win, and we're talking about, hey, what a great moment that could have been, though, for Merrill, Are we mad if Mike Schilt chases a moment more than a win?
No. Why didn't Wagner hit for Iglesias if he has better splits?
It's a good question.
That's a good... Why didn't Bryce Johnson
hit left-handed instead of right-handed? Correct. I don't know. Do they ever do that? Even when you get a, go against a reverse split lefty, the switch hitters never hit lefty. They always go righty. It's just what they're used to seeing.
So. Ralph says, Woodsy, I love you. You're living an emotionally charged baseball Hallmark movie special. My heart rate is through the roof. I can handle losses. I really can. Losses don't really bother me. There's 162 of these. It's inexplicable decisions that I have a hard time.
You just heard the splick, the explanation from Mike Schilt.
A splickable.
He splicked it.
It's a very splickable explanation, but it doesn't make sense.
You may disagree with it.
It doesn't make sense.
You may disagree with it, but he just explained it for you. They just didn't feel like that would be a good spot to put Jackson Merrill in for the first time in 2 weeks.
We all agree, too, that Luis Arraez remains a very interesting case. He's one of the guys, a few guys in the big leagues where you go, hey, man, he should either hit one or nine. And there's really no in between.
Yeah.
Had a great day in the leadoff yesterday. One or nine.
I'll entertain any conversation you want to have about it.
One or nine.
I texted you guys. As long as it's not the two spot.
One or nine, it's weird. Like, hey, man, he's good enough to hit leadoff.
It's one game. His at-bats looked better from the leadoff spot. He looked like more of a grindy leadoff batter as the leadoff guy.
Big time. Had great ABs till the last one, but, like, really, really good ABs. And so, all right, I'm going to relax. It's behind us. We move on, you know, and I just wanted to get it out because I really couldn't understand it. And that's okay. Schilt doesn't have to answer to me. He doesn't.
Yes, he does. On Friday in the manager's report with Mike Schilt at 9 a.m. here
he's
on Ben & Woods.
My throat.
The manager's report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. And again, I disagree with the decision. I will go to bat and say they are not, as you said, the game does speed up. They're not getting caught unaware.
All right.
Mike Schilt and his coaching staff, they think these things through. You may not like the way they think through. I disagree with some of the ways they think about baseball. I really do. Just as my fan perspective, sometimes I disagree with Mike Schilt. But he's not doing this with no thought to the matter. He's not an idiot. He has a reason for what he's doing. We may disagree with it, but he didn't make that decision out of stupidity. He made that decision out of maybe a misplaced, thought of what was going to occur with Will Wagner at the plate versus Jackson Merrill.
It'd be fun tonight to throw Louis in the one and Toddy in the two, and let's just roll. I mean, what do we have to lose
if Toddy's back?
If Toddy's back. Yeah. I mean, you have nothing to lose, guys. Like, we are playing really poorly.
You actually are in a fairly free spot. If you get going, great. You may catch the Dodgers. If you continue to scuffle, you're probably still okay because you've got such a comfortable lead in the wild card race. You can afford to try to shake things up a little bit right now. We'll see, though. We'll talk about it more as we continue. When we come back, though, Don't Do This is coming up next. And we had one player that absolutely lit up one of the ballparks because of this. Do we have the sound?
It's Taylor Ward back near the wall.
You can hear it.
Thud. We will talk about that and Don't Do This and more coming up next with Ben & Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I get to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. Month of September is here, but we are still trying to make it as easy as possible for you out there in San Diego to lose weight and lose weight fast. Find out the secret of losing up to 1 pound of fat per day with no injections, no risk of serious side effects, no exercise required, no counting points or calories, and no prepackaged meals. All from SDFatLoss.com. They're going to teach you how to eat, when to eat, so the weight comes off quickly and sustainably. I did the program 2 summers ago. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. I have kept every pound off for the entire 2 years. It's a different kind of weight loss, and I think sustainability is the absolute key. We've had people in this building lose a ton of weight. We've had tier ones who have lost thousands of pounds now in San Diego. You can join them. All you have to do, mention my name, Ben from 97.3 The Fan. You're going to get $200 off. We're still making this as simple as possible here in the month of September for you to lose weight based on eating foods from the grocery store and not, as I said, prepackaged meals, no bars, no shakes, just real food like steak and chicken and vegetables. Lose the weight up to a pound of fat per day, and again, 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Going to keep this moving because we have Craig Elston to talk more Padres and SDFC's big win coming up at the bottom of the hour. Oh. Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
Pretty scary moment out at Daikin Park, Ben, where the Houston Astros were taking on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And Taylor Ward went back for a ball and really was, I mean, he was going full bore and he ran into the wall, and you forget, it is made out of metal. And this is what it sounded like.
Here is Ramon Urias as he hammers one to left field. It's Taylor Ward back near the wall and
he hit it hard.
And yeah, it's the out-of-town scoreboard portion of the wall, right where it kind of curved. Juts out there in left field at Daikin Park in Houston.
Yeah, so it about up to your waist, it's padded. But anything above your waist, it's metal. And he hit it really hard. Now, again, they have that little cutout, too. It's really weirdly designed.
They used to have a hill and a flagpole on the field as well. Sometimes maybe we're trying too hard to be distinctive.
Yeah,
and
sometimes
unique.
Bits go too far. And so he slams into it. And, dude, you immediately, he's on his knees and he puts his hand to his head. And he's waving. And the guy, Andrew Chafin, was right there in the bullpen, ran out with a towel, and immediately put a towel. But you can see the blood pouring down his face. And after the game, man, which the Angels won, Joe Adell did not hold back. He said, quote, "He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's being aggressive on a play. At the bottom line, I've talked about this before, there should be no out-of-town metal scoreboard anywhere on the baseball field. It's the big leagues. This S is ridiculous. Guy goes back to make a play. He's got to worry about a metal fence. That's crazy. So that's my honest opinion about it. He did everything he could to make a play. He gets beat up by something that's beyond controllable." I mean, yeah.
Adell got hurt by this same fence and missed a month and a half a couple of years ago as well. So he's got strong feelings
as he should.
About the park in Houston.
What do you think? I kind of agree, right?
He makes a pretty good point.
A metal scoreboard out there in the year 2025.
They still have a brick wall in Chicago.
God, they do.
Which is, you know, sometimes covered by plants, and early in the season it's just covered by sticks, essentially.
Sticks and brick.
You know, I think people would have... they would have a fit if they, you know, decided to just, let's just have a nice padded wall out at Wrigley Field.
But here's the thing.
So part of baseball is of those unique...
Would they have a fit?
In Houston? Probably not.
Would they have a fit in Wrigley Field?
I think they would.
They said, guys, it's 2025. We pay a lot of money.
We're taking the bricks out. We're taking the ivy out. We're just going to have a nice padded wall.
Yeah, just a nice padded wall. We can even do fake... they do fake ivy now. It's really nice. It's really cool. You'd never know the difference. We can put fake ivy over the paths, and you guys will never know. Man, that's a bummer, though. It looked pretty bad.
I know I wouldn't want to be the person who hits my face on a metal wall.
No, we know that.
He actually is going to not have to go on the injured list, though.
Tough
Stitched
guy.
Him up, sticking around for the Angels for the last month of the season. All right, well, let's just move straight to do this.
D-D mega do-do.
And I thought they handled it really well. We talked last week about how it was probably time for Lee Corso to hang it up. Had his final college game day for ESPN on Saturday morning. Got up early. Watched it, got the chills when Kirk Herbstreit narrated the final segment for Lee Corso, and then they went through the picks like they always did. And wouldn't you know, the very last segment of picks, Lee Corso nailed them 100%. In fact, I saw someone actually did a parlay of Lee Corso's picks just in honor of him. Paid like 20 to 1. Nice. Even picked God. Florida State's upset of Alabama.
Sure did.
Had the final head pick with Ohio State mascot. Picked that one correctly for the game against Texas.
And every team that he coached or played for won.
That I saw that as well.
Pretty incredible.
And also, I thought it was cool, Fox, it was their game.
Yeah.
It was their big noon Saturday game. They carried the whole thing as well, yeah. Even though it was a competitor, a competing network. They did a spot with Tom Rinaldi talking about a former
pretty cool.
colleague at ESPN. That was a doo-doo this. All handled very well and a really nice swan song for Lee Corso in his final college game day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Have you noticed Craig Elston's been bringing the heat
the
last few weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Talking Padres.
Wonder where he's at.
Talking soccer. I wonder where he's at. That's why we felt like, even though it's Tuesday, because we missed Monday, we wanted to make sure Craig had his time to say his piece. He will get that time. Coming up next, don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, guess where I'm headed today? At 1:30 p.m., I will be walking in to QC Kinetics, the Torrey Hills location. As I mentioned, jammed my wrist a few weeks back. It feels a little bit better, but I figured, why not, man? I know this works. I know this is going to strengthen my wrist. That's what they worked on me before for, you know, many, many years ago. And I'm going to go in, get a treatment, and I'm so happy that they exist. I'm so happy that I know it works. I know exactly what I'm expecting. So if you woke up with joint pain this morning, you should do what exactly I'm doing. Go in and get at least a free consultation with the medical pros over at QC Kinetics. Thousands of patients like myself that'll tell you they wish they would have done it sooner. Really alleviates a lot of the worry, you know, thinking about, man, do I have to get surgery, things like that. So if you got knee, wrists, back, neck, any of that, go check them out and at least see if you're a good fit. You can bring your old x-rays, MRIs, and let them take a look. Free, no pressure chat, thorough evaluation to see if you're a good candidate. So if you do have joint pain and it's keeping you from doing things that you love to do, guys, this is a no-brainer. At least call, get the free consultation today. Worst case, you learn something new. Best case, you get your life back. Grab the phone right now. Call them. Locations again, Hillcrest and Torrey Hills. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. Once again, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics.
Star 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Islands Restaurants. Islands Restaurants, summer refreshment, paradise, ambiance, and the best burgers in town, like the Big Wave with cheese and fresh-cut fries. $10 now for a limited time only. Visit one of the Islands Restaurants throughout Southern California today. Dine in only. Well, the best part of the sports weekend in San Diego had nothing to do with the Padres. I think it had to be SDFC's incredible 2-1 win up at LAFC. Front of a sold-out crowd, a fired-up crowd, excited for their new Korean star who was making his home debut, fall behind 1-0, and then rally with your stars, Chucky and Anders, scoring goals in a 2-1 win that further solidifies their spot on top of the standings. We'll talk with Craig Elston about SDFC and the San Diego Padres right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Felt a little jealous. Saw some SDFC fans making the trip up to BMO Stadium on the bus.
You felt jealous?
That they were up there. And
it looks like riding into a war zone.
Well,
they were throwing beers at the bus. Like, it was bananas.
But on the way back, that feel of victory when you go into the beast of the belly,
as we like to say, the beast
come out
of the
with
belly.
The win. Right. Craig Elston joining us here. Padres Hot Tub Podcast, Cro-Maniacs to talk soccer, Padres, and more. Hello, Craig.
Morning, fellas. Great to be here. Thank you for starting with SDFC. Now, I appreciate it.
Now, you did not go up, did you?
I really want. In fact, I had like 3 invites to get on the bus. But
I thought you'd be driving the bus. I really did. I was right? Like, there's no way the Cro-Maniac is missing this.
Listen, not to get into the weeds about it, but Padres Hot Tub is a thing that I do with 2 other guys, and both guys were on vacation this weekend, and I needed to be home Sunday night to do the show.
I get it.
Like,
I get it.
Like, literally, I had to be home to do the show. But I wanted to be on that bus, even knowing that they got back to the snap at like 12:45 in the morning, Monday morning. That bus was the place to be because BMO Stadium was the place to be for the San Diego win of the year. I mean, that's so far to date, 2025, the best San Diego win of any sport, any size.
Yes.
Is going to LAFC and winning on Sonny's debut.
Yes.
On Sonny's debut. winning and taking all three home and going 5-0 in the Kings of Cali, San Diego FC.
What a player that guy is, too, Sonny. I mean, I watched, the save that Dos Santos made on him. That shot, Craig, was about, I'm no soccer expert, looked like it was about 140 off the foot, spinning like a Adam Ottavino slider. Like, it was disgusting. And the full layout dive to knock that thing down. I mean, I yelped. And then, of course, the barrage by LAFC at the end. And it's just like, oh my God. All right. So let me take back my soccer is boring years ago take, because there was nothing boring about that match. Nothing.
And I mean, you said it. LAFC is a really, really good team. We talked about this last night on our Two Balls and a Mic Quamaniacs kind of post-game roundtable show, that really of all the teams in the Western Conference, and you tell me, oh, we're going to go head-to-head with Vancouver, we're going to go head-to-head with Minnesota, we're going to go head-to-head with Portland, we're going to go head-to-head with LAFC. LAFC is the one that you're worried about. That's a complete team. That's a team that could win a championship, that could get through a playoff bracket and do damage. And we have not seen SDFC do what they did late in that match too often this year, which is park the bus. Take that 2-1 lead, last 20 minutes, sit back, stay in your shape, stay in your frame, and withstand. And I wanted to point out two guys, both of whom have had injury issues over the course of the summer. Chris McVay, Patty McNair, those two center backs were so huge in this game. Young Man Odua continues to play well as well, but Patty McNair had a crunching tackle that took David Martinez right out of the game. Yep. Completely fair tackle. McVay had about three interventions in the last 10 minutes that denied shots on goal. Those guys really came to play. You don't often talk about the center backs because you're talking about offense and shots and excitement, but those guys really showed up.
Craig, it was going to take an almost impossible season and an incredible narrative for someone to steal an MVP award away from Messi. Yeah. We're kind of seeing it from Anders Dreyer. I mean, the goal that he scored, like 1-on-4, three defenders and the keeper, and having to beat them all. The numbers that he's put up for a team, an expansion team that's top of the table, ahead of even, you know, Miami's Messi team. He's doing it all to try to, you know, could be the MVP. Are we seeing him for the only season, though? Will he go back to, will this performance probably lead him back to a big deal in Europe somewhere? Is that kind of the reality of MLS sometimes?
Now I got to Google Anders Dreyer contract because I think he's under contract. Yeah, he runs through the end of 2027.
Oh, so they've got him
on a 3-year deal.
But I mean, I don't know how the soccer works. If a European team says, hey, we're going to back a Brinks truck up to SDFC to try to buy him away, you almost have to say yes when those opportunities arrive. When you're a franchise like that, or is that not how it works? I don't even know.
I mean, are they going to give SDFC $50 million?
I don't know.
On a transfer fee for Anders Dreyer?
$20 million? I don't know.
It's theoretically possible. This is what I'm going to say, and I'm just reflecting stuff that I've heard from the last two broadcasts. The Danish national team has seen their opinion of Anders Dreyer rise because of what he's done in MLS, to the point that he could start for the Dutch, which is one of the hardest teams to make in the entire world. So yes, his value, you know, his threat level has risen, so to speak, on the world stage, but SDFC has him under contract. So let's just be clear about this. They don't have to do anything.
Okay.
They can keep Anders Dreyer for this season, the next two seasons, and he can enjoy it. If someone comes and throws $50 million at SDFC or something crazy, well, we can talk about it then. But right now, let's just talk about a kid playing MVP level, because I really think he is.
Yeah, he was fantastic. It was a fantastic showing. I mean, it really was. And then, you know, flipping the this was after, of course, the Padres on Sunday. And listen, Craig, you know, you had one blowout victory. They've lost, what, 6 of 8? I mean, it's a really rough time to play a really bad stretch of baseball against teams that, frankly, you should win. And listen, I'm okay losing to Joe Ryan. I know he hadn't been great in his last two starts. That's okay. It's Joe Ryan. But, man, Friday night, off and off day, recharge, ready to go. You came out and laid a stinker. You laid a stinker yesterday. It's tough. It's a tough watch right now for the Pods.
Insurance. By the way, I just said Dutch and I meant Denmark. So
yeah, isn't it all the same?
No, Dutch, Danish, Denmark, Netherlands.
Dutch is the Netherlands.
It's all Holland. It's all delicious pastries.
Uncultured swine.
You've got like, the Dutch crumb. You've got the Danish pastries. It's all really tasty.
It's all deadly.
I was just, sorry, I extemporaneously misspoke. So I saw like 20 people in the chat.
I said September 31st earlier in the show today. So it's fine. We all make mistakes.
There's a big Danish contingent in the chat, which I like to see. I love it. Look, here's the good news for the San Diego Padres. And I heard, I think Ben kind of touch on this a little bit. There's a little wiggle room right now if you give up the ghost of the Padres are going to win the NL West. If you just kind of put that aside and say, you know what? We're not going to win the West. We're not good enough. Not now. Not right now. Then you start to say, okay, can we get that four spot? Maybe not. Maybe not the way we're playing. Maybe the goal is to avoid the sixth spot and a chance to play LA in a best two out of three at Dodger Stadium to start and end.
That is a possibility. You could have to face the Dodgers in a 3-6 matchup in a best of three.
You absolutely could. The reason why is simple, guys. This team isn't very good right now. They're not the team we've talked about and dreamt about for the last month. They're just not. Every single starting pitcher is struggling. Even Nick Pivetta is giving up more homers and is starting to show the wear that you would expect for a guy who's been carrying the mail all spring and all summer long. We no longer have the five-finger death punch. Jason Adam is out. He's gone for the year. That is a weapon we had for the playoffs that's now diminished. And Dylan Cease is just going to lose you every time you go out in the postseason. It's an automatic, you're way behind and you need to pull out a miracle. Meanwhile, Xander Bogaerts is out for some period of extended time, maybe the rest of the regular season. And Tatis is hurting and Machado is slumping terribly. And the Padres refuse to optimize their lineup. They're going to continue to make, you know, little things that make them less efficient along the way. So does that sound like I'm just pouring a big ass bucket of cold water on the Padres? I'm not trying to. I'm trying to recognize where are we today? Okay. Today, this team isn't winning bleep in the playoffs. this team right now is 0-2 barbecue in the playoffs in all likelihood and a bummer finish to the year. But the good news is, you've got 3 weeks to find form. You've got 3 weeks, and now we're going kind of from soccer verbiage to baseball verbiage. But the Padres need form. Even beyond results, they need to have their form back. They need to be a team that looks vibrant and exciting and not what they look like right now, which is exhausted.
Yeah, exhausted.
The Padres right now look like a team that's exhausted. Their stars look like they've just gone a little bit too long, a little bit too hard, and they're out of gas. And the new guys have come in and done a good job, you know, but there's a lot of injuries going on right now, and that has diminished the overall quality of the team. So I feel from the audience like this, we've got to win every game. I feel it from our audience too, but like right now, that's not this team.
Talking to Craig Elston, and Craig, I said something probably 2 months ago, long before the trade deadline, that we forgot about, but remains true to this day, in my opinion. I said, the Padres need Michael King to come back and be an ace if they're going to make any sort of run in the postseason.
Actually, literally, forgot about him.
And it is actually still true today. We kind of got distracted by the trade deadline and the team playing well and challenging the Dodgers. And we forgot, they have a guy who can be one of the best pitchers in baseball who may be coming back later this week. But if he doesn't, I don't think anything's changed from 2 months ago.
Nothing changed.
Padres really can't get very far without an ace Michael King in the playoffs. So that, to me, is the biggest thing that can happen between now and the end of September. Michael King coming back. Jackson Merrill coming back and looking like, I don't know, Jackson Merrill wouldn't hurt either. And Manny Machado, somehow getting healthier and starting to hit like Manny Machado also would be beneficial. Thank you.
No, you nailed it. I mean, and I remember us saying this, saying, well, you know, if Michael King never comes back, that we probably won't have enough.
Yep.
You know, and that was before the deadline. And then the deadline came along. And it's like, no, wait, we're loaded for bear. But there are some really troubling notes that's going on with the Padres offense. And I don't just want to keep hobby horsing the Luis Arraez situation. I know he got three hits yesterday, but I'm going to go even beyond that. Any team, any 2025 Major League Baseball team that is getting a leadoff runner on, their leadoff hitter is up, and they utilize a bunt to move that runner from first to second base with nobody out, that is the worst play in Major League Baseball. It's statistically proven. It's decades long entrenched. And it's inarguable. And it's so obnoxious to have to do this again. Like, this is a fight from 1978 that was lost in 1989. And Ben, you and I in 2000 were making fun of Dusty Baker for making this exact play to lose game for the Giants in the ninth inning, getting the leadoff runner on and bunting him over and letting Trevor get his feet under him, you know, to get a save. It's garbage. And honestly, the fact that Mike Schilt allows this to continue to happen and the team leads the league in this category, no one bunts a runner from first to second, except the San Diego Padres in big league baseball. So the fact that we're doing things that are 100% anti-offense as a team philosophy is mistaken. And if they bench Gavin Sheets this week because Merrill's back and they just don't have any other ideas, that's just restricting your offensive blood flow. That's all it is making yourself a worse team because you have whatever ego. Trophy case managing is what I call it sometimes. Like, are you looking at what the team does or are you looking at the statue? Well, look at that, a three-time batting channel. No, who's doing the best and what's the best way? This team is not loaded for bear right now. They're limping. So it's arrogant to act like they're loaded for bear and there's nothing that we have to do to change. The Padres have 3 weeks to get their form right. Otherwise, October is going to be much more about the club with the logo behind me than it is about the club that we love so much.
Yep, well said. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and you know what? If Freddie Fermin lays down a bunt every once in a while from the nine slot, sure, especially like in a tie game late in the game,
no problem.
Fine, I don't have
a
problem with that.
There's a time and place, man. It's the first inning.
The Padres haven't, haven't figured out an inefficiency in baseball. This isn't Moneyball. Ooh, all the other teams aren't bunting. We're going to bunt.
Right.
It's not.
It's the worst zag of all time.
It's already been figured out. There's a reason why all the other teams don't bunt. As Craig pointed out, it's because it's just been statistically proven to be a losing play in the long run. Now, occasionally, will it work? Yeah. That doesn't mean it's the right play. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah, occasionally, the hidden ball trick works. You know what I mean? Like,
especially not from your leadoff hitter.
Right.
It's just you shouldn't be doing it. Craig, great stuff. As always, glad we could squeeze you in on a Tuesday. Gives everybody the rest of the week to check out Padres Hot Tub, Cro-Maniacs, and Crossing
Hot
Street.
Tub.
Hot Tub.
Hot Tub.
Hot Tub.
Padres Hot
well,
Tub.
We'll be back with a new Hot Tub later today, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Craig. Hot Tub.
Hot Tub.
Padres Hot Tub.
Love it.
Yeah, he's not wrong, but it is funny how we all kind of forgot about Michael King.
I mean, literally forgot. I'm like, oh.
It's hard to count on him for, you know, being an ace when we've seen so little of him this season. But same as I said in June, his team's not going anywhere without Michael King, you know, throwing some really good starts in the playoffs, right?
Yep. Real quick on Gavin Sheets. He is second on this team in RBIs.
I mean,
which I think is still a significant statistic. How many runs are you driving in?
Correct.
He is second on the team. He also seems like the number one guy that's like, well, you got to get him out now that Merrill's back.
It's banana.
How many teams out there have the second leading RBI hitter in their lineup, and he's like the bench guy?
He's on the bubble.
Platoon. Like,
I'm not a big RBI guy, but you can't take Gavin Sheets out of the lineup right now.
What did you just say?
What's the point of the game?
Not a big RBI guy.
What's the point of the game, man?
In evaluating how good a hitter is, you can't take Gavin Sheets out of the lineup.
I hate it here.
Can't take him out.
He's lost his mind.
I'm not a big RBI guy.
Well...